The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment.
An opening salute for a wrestler who should have made it, could have made it, lost way too soon. Ric Flair, 25 years young. Rest in peace. That's not how I like starting the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, but unfortunately, things like this happen. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have a few of the usual suspects around the table. First, a basketball-addled DJ Peckins.
Good evening, everybody.
Somewhere out in the Northeast, still confused with his maps and his GPS's VRM.
It's not so much the maps and GPS's as... do I take the train and risk being stuck in Secaucus overnight, or do I just drive and then just sit and just constantly state, I hate people, I hate people, I hate people, as I get cut off from every direction trying to get on a Route 3 after the show?
I'd recommend a hotel in Hoboken.
They don't have any water. Why would I do that?
That's true. I forgot that Hoboken kind of got washed off the map. I gotta stop that. And our third at the table, deep in the heart of Kentucky, Tyler Brown.
I'm craving a chicken strip basket.
We'll get you clam strips, man. Okay, that went right over his head.
Tyler, so, just wait another hour and a half.
But. No, this broke as of Friday when we are recording this broadcast that Ric Flair was found in a hotel. Today he was pronounced dead at the scene, 25 years old. We don't have a whole lot of details, but a lot of us are speculating, since he has had drug issues in the past VRM, that his passing might have been drug related.
Mm. So far no foul play. Cause of death has been reported as unknown. I don't know. He has had prior arrests for heroin, so he was set.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, never mind.
Okay. This is still kind of out of nowhere, Tyler, since Reed had actually just completed a tour of Japan at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and the funny thing was I was concerned it was David, I guess, because you never really hear any, when you talk wrestling and you talk to Flair family, the main people all you hear about is his many wives. You hear about Rick primarily, David because of his infamous Titantron, and then, you know, other than that, you really don't hear much about the rest of the players. And I almost got confused and thought it was David, and I was like, holy shit. And then I had to relook at what was going on. I was like, oh, wow. But I didn't even realize he had a younger son. And then I found out, I was watching some, found an old clip from WCW on YouTube where, you know, they were talking about, oh, you know, we're talking about this champ. And they did keep bringing up Flair and Flair and Flair, and it was his youngest son. And it was Reed. He was a young wrestling champ apparently at the time. He was maybe like 10. And he came in the ring with Arn, his uncle or whatever, Arn Anderson. And they were something, I can't remember what exactly the storyline was at the time, but just out of nowhere, like, Reed comes down and tackles Eric Bischoff by, like, the bottoms of his legs and takes him down, like, twice in a row. And then Eric goes to go right after him, and Arn stops him. And it was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know Reed had had some other issues, not just drug issues, DJ. I remember he got in trouble in, what was it, high school or early college at a wrestling match because somebody was making fun of him because of his father?
Yeah, I believe so. And he, like, gave him a body slam or a choke slam or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been easy to be the son of the Nature Boy Ric Flair, a legendary pro wrestler, you know, and you're an amateur wrestler, and here are a lot of other amateur wrestlers probably don't like professional wrestling because, you know, you go up to you're a wrestler and you go up to somebody and they say, oh, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm a wrestler. And they say, oh, so you are WWF or WCW. And they take offense to that because they think that stuff's fake. And I'm a real amateur wrestler. So he probably caught a lot of flack for that because, you know, people probably thought that he and his participation in the sport was making a mockery of, but actually, you know, he was a pretty accomplished amateur wrestler, and his father undoubtedly was very proud, attended as many of his dual meets and wrestling championships as he could,
mm-hmm.
given his schedule, of course.
Right. So, but yeah, this is, you know, as I've said it, you know, I've said it and a few people have said it online, fathers should never have to bury their sons.
So. Absolutely not. It's very heartbreaking, too, because I actually was just doing some research on Reed Flair this week because I had planned on attending an indie show in Pennsylvania. Ric Flair was the headliner. Of course, that's why Reed was on the road with his dad this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced Wednesday that he was going to join the tour. And I thought, wow, that's great, because I really didn't have many other people that I was going for besides Kevin Nash, and because I had already gotten Ric Flair, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I was poring over his Twitter. Actually, it was probably last night. It was probably Thursday night. And I saw some of his pictures. He was dining with the great Muda. And, of course, he replaced Ric Flair on that tour Japan, All Japan tag match that Ric Flair was originally scheduled to be in before he had the leg clot issues. And it's ironic now that people were worried about Ric Flair's health. And here, unfortunately, you know, his son passes away. You know, he just got back in from Japan. He was planning to go over and train more with the All Japan guys, with Muda. His sister, his big sister, Ashley Flair, who was working at Charlotte in NXT, also was, you know, undoubtedly keeping track on him. And, you know, it was kind of like Ric Flair no longer wrestles, but those were kind of supposed to carry on the Flair legacy, and now it's one short, you know?
Yeah. So... Definitely not how I wanted to start this show. But I'm also kind of happy that, you know, I'm not having a 10-bell salute for another wrestler, which actually this is going to help bring the mood back up. Saturday, I was in downtown Minneapolis for what was called the Last Effin' Show, Jerry Lynn's retirement event. Now, he's been doing a retirement tour in recent months. And this ECW Heavy event put about 1,000 butts in the seats and had a stacked card. I mean, some of the names that we got to see. First of all, just the ECW names alone probably got a lot of people in. Not just Jerry, but Dreamer, Sabu, Meanie, Rhino, P- Perry Saturn, Al Snow, and Head. The only person that was really missing from the show VRM was Rob Van Dam.
Yeah. VRM. So yeah, I have no idea what's going on, so.
Okay. Well, DJ, just from some of those names alone, and just going over some of, you know, what we know of Jerry Lynn's career, you know, Rob Van Dam would probably be the only person that would have really, you know, sent this card over the top.
Absolutely, and RVD being one of his greatest rivals, I know they were scheduled to face each other. I think with one of the were they scheduled to face each other at one of the ECW One Night Stands before Rob got hurt, and then I think again at one of the Hardcore Justice shows before. And I think then Jerry Lynn actually had gotten hurt. So this match, though, that match would have been, you know, something that would have been nice on that final card. I know they wrestled in one of those TNA One Night Only pay-per-views that's due out very soon. But it is nice to see a lot of the ECW guys go up to Minnesota, and also to see Sean Waltman in the event with him. I know those two, I think, started in Minnesota, correct, Nikki?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's good to see him, you know, finish up in his kind of where he got his beginnings in wrestling and in AWA territory up there, and a lot of his EC guys were there to send him off.
So, the show was an absolute blast. It was great to see all the guys, and unfortunately, I am apparently infamous enough, as I got a hello and where's the rest of you from the likes of Al Snow and Rhino and Tommy. Sabu didn't look too bad. We had local worker Eric Cannon, who had the privilege. Tyler, I don't know if I want to call it a privilege. He had to fight Sabu.
Suicidal, homicidal. That's nuts.
And not a botch to be had. Just to get that out of the way.
Nikki, I saw him in Connellsville, PA in early March, the first weekend of March.
Yeah.
And he actually looked, like you said, not a botch to be found. He looked great. And actually, when I went for the autograph signing at intermission, I had a ECW promo pick, one of those, you know, officially unofficial, but looks official. And I went to give it to Sabu to sign, and he was selling the knockoff version that you put under a copier and just print out about 100 of them, and it costs like 10 cents. And he got a good laugh out of it because, oh, this, he says, this is the real one. He says, I'm selling all the fake ones. little did he know, I also had a fake one.
Well, I also got from Al, what the hell are you doing in Minnesota? After I told you guys that I told that story on the last show when I run into him in Michigan, that he was just like, where the hell do you live? Because I'd seen him in Michigan, I'd seen him in Kentucky, I'd seen him in Ohio, I'd seen him in, you know, Indianapolis, and now here I am all the way out in freaking Minneapolis. He's like, where do you live?
To make him really afraid of you, when you should have said, wherever you are, Al.
I don't think anything phases him anymore. I did take a moment, though, and congratulate him for his son-in-law getting WWE tryouts last week. I don't know if you knew that, DJ.
Oh, no. Who would that be?
Astonishing Aaron Williams.
Oh, okay. I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't get on camera, but he was backstage at Raw and SmackDown. So, like I said, this was a good show. Unfortunately, the story that comes out of this show is how much Sean Waltman loves this business. And sadly, I have a picture when I can where I have the proof of how hard X-Pac busts ass for wrestling. You're allowed to laugh. He lived.
Literally.
Quite literally.
Literally.
Quite literally.
He tore that wrestling ring a new asshole.
He tore himself a new asshole.
And You guys are gonna wince. I'll describe what this was. Him and Lynn and two local guys were in a Fatal 4-Way main event, and one of the guys was slumped in the corner. So of course Pac's calling for the Bronco Buster. He comes in with a full head of steam. The guy gets out of the way. He vaults and comes down on the wrong side of the turnbuckle. Right across the middle between the turnbuckle and the ring post.
Oh,
yikes.
All of you gentlemen at the table, please cross your legs.
I'll settle for just going to fetal.
Yeah. So, WrestleChat.net has the picture. He did finish the match. Now, somebody, you know, I'm going to just throw this out here. I thought Pac wasn't allowed to wrestle. Doesn't he have Hep C? Anyone?
I thought that he was, there was talk of him, when he was down at FCW, like, helping out with training and different things, that maybe he had one last run in him,
mm-hmm.
and that the reason that WWE would not sign him was because of that, and that's the same reason, I guess, they didn't sign Nigel as well. But he also, I know he's done a lot of shows with, like, Chikara. He's done King of Trios as 1-2-3 Kid, and he did, I think, the free wrestling shows for National Pro Wrestling. I think he did one of the matches as 1-2-3 Kid. I think that's also loosely affiliated with Chikara. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it depends on the promotion.
Right. But, see, that was my big concern. Now, I had a few... I kept taking pictures through the rest of the match because I was... At the time, I was unaware that he had done that kind of damage. There was no blood on his... There was no blood on his gear. So, any of the bleeding... I'm not going to make that joke... happened after the show and after he was back at the hotel, and they got him straight to the hospital. Apparently he had to have surgery to get that torn asshole put back together.
Well, fortunately for X-Pac, I believe this is the second time he's had that happen to him. I mean, after all, he did sleep with China on a regular basis, so.
Oh. Love you, DJ. Whoever's sitting next to DJ, please punch him.
And pass the brave leash around.
Don't mind
and,
if I
and do. The, and the bucket. Mark yeah, bucket.
Hold still, gentlemen. DJ, this is your fault.
Brain bleach!
Thank you. Okay.
But I did think I told a half-truth. I do believe that this is the... This is not the first time that he's had that happen to him.
That's correct. This is the second time it's happened to him. So he is the only person who can legitimately say that he has busted ass for this business twice. I also got a few jokes in with somebody else on this, and after ribbing that individual, I commented to him that I was busting his ass. So... But Pac apparently, you know, has been in good humor about it because, yeah, it is a odd injury. The only other thing we had to worry about was right at the beginning of the show. Luke Hawks was in a multi-man tag. Pull up the picture. With Saturn and another local. And during the match, Hawks took a low bridge with way too much momentum, quote-unquote missed the floor, and took the guardrails full with the back in his head.
Oof.
He was down for a few minutes. We saw a couple people checking on him.
This is the second time he's been involved, and it is the last, let me see here, five months or so that he's been involved in a scary spot, because he was the one that pushed Matt Hardy off the top rope at the main event of the Extreme Rising show, where Matt Hardy fell to the floor and unprotected and kind of got messed up there for a little bit.
So, yeah. But I did talk to Luke at intermission. He said he's okay. I think the only other injury was the fact that Eric Cannon probably was expecting but still got a shanking from Sabu.
Well, actually, Nikki, you thought you were talking to Luke Cox, but it was actually Adam Pearce that said he was okay.
Wrong. Don't even. I couldn't find Adam Pearce, and I think I know why. Pearce, first of all, was heel for the show, and so he wasn't out there selling gimmicks. Also, he was biding his time because he was going to be heading south for gut check. Yes, I don't want to, but yeah, here I'm going to.
Palm.
Well, okay. At least now, with gut check back online, they're doing it the way they should have done it the first time. They've actually got a system set up so you can't vote early and vote often, or attack it with a voter bot. Or at least last I checked, VRM. But Pearce,
I don't know. Go
ahead, DJ.
I was just gonna say I don't like the gut check concept. You know, you have to have one person that says that they don't like them, and then one person says that they do, so they can set up the all important third person, and then they'll, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem authentic. You know that they signed two people and brought them in, like the Ivelisse thing. You know that they're setting something up with her, even though they didn't pick her. She was the favorite of everybody, but it just doesn't have that authenticity. I'd like to see them go to like a voice model where they have four judges, and obviously they can't just, you know, have their backs turned and then turn around, but like, I don't know, press a button or so, light up a light or something, and then they pick which one they want to go with, and they kind of train, and yeah, I think that would be a better model for it, but I don't know, I'm just not a gut check fan. It's a good idea in theory, but it just doesn't work for me.
Tyler, what do you think of the new gut check?
I've been more familiar with the older version. I haven't watched it as much. So what exactly have they changed that from old to new? What's the big deal as far as the quote unquote changes?
Well, the original attempt at the gut check, there was a whole bunch of wannabes and never wills that were mixed in there. And the website wasn't very well protected, so people could vote over and over and over again, and there were voter bots attacking the site, because I got it on good authority that votes were being taken down, as well as people getting 10,000 votes out of nowhere. So,
and not only that, there were people in the original pool that had already signed WWE developmental contracts. There were people that I think were all probably on WWE TV, and they didn't even know that they were still a part of it, because I guess the application for that gut check had been months, maybe even years ago. And not hearing of, nobody had notified the actual participants that they were being voted on for this.
So, yeah. Well, and speaking of that, one previous participant was contacted, and he said no. And that would be another guy from our area, DJ, in the case of Sammy Callahan. I think he's got his foot in the door up north. I know they've been taking very serious looks at him. I've got my fingers crossed for him. And for anybody here, DJ, I'm pretty sure you've seen Sammy live, right?
Yeah, I saw him at IWC. I think he did a mixed tag with, I don't know who his tag team partner was, but I remember his opponents were Delirious and Daisy Hayes. I think that's maybe the only time, because every time I think I've been to a show, he hasn't been there, or maybe he was at a show I didn't get to, but I've seen him work before, and I know he's done great work with Evolve and Dragon Gate USA and other promotions, you know, top-notch indie promotions, and he's a good one. I know he's been doing dark matches with WWE, and then hopefully, you know, he stays away from TNA, keeps on doing what he's doing.
Tyler, have you had the pleasure of seeing Sammy live?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to any sort of wrestling show in years.
Shame on you, sir. Yeah. VRM, Sammy's a CZW guy. I don't know if you go watch any CZW. Okay.
He does have a great we always talk about the gimmicked hometowns where people are from, Death Valley and different places like that, and I think his was the last house. He's from the last house on the left.
House on the left.
Yes. which is awesome.
So, and in person, he is a great guy. A little flaky sometimes, but he's a great guy. And he's been up and down the road since at least 2005. I met him when he was still Cannonball Callahan, working in Heartland. I run into him a year and a half later, and I had a similar "Where's the rest of you?" reaction. That he had lost all that weight to the point, DJ, I could actually wrap my arms around him 1.5 times.
Well, would that have been was he the one that started the American Lucha Corps promotion out in Belle Fountain?
Yeah, he's the one who ran Lucha Corps. And he would, he would have these overbooked extravaganzas where he would have, 30, 35 guys in the back and try to figure out a way to use them all.
Somebody needs to take tickets and put up the ring, I guess.
And I'll tell you what, the shows were amazing, and I will, I had the honor of being called to work the revival show, the one where they lost Matt Riott the week before. I could have worked. I was called out there to work the show. I got to walk into the arena with my gear. I did not formally work the show, but I walked in with my gear. That counts. Damn it. But yeah, good on Sammy. I know that he really doesn't need TNA to help get any more exposure. He's got 3 or 4 guys that are already in the Fed that would probably give him a huge thumbs up right off the bat. That includes Mox, who he has wrestled, Callahan has wrestled in some bloody, ugly brawls in Indianapolis. They scared kids. It was good stuff. So that's that. Okay, I'm done talking about TNA. Yay. Okay. WWE has, is usually pretty good about jumping on board for various causes. They've, of course, we make fun of the Be a Star campaign a lot. People are saying that they're a little late to the party with the Hurricane Sandy relief, but oh my God, what they're bringing forward. VRM, have you seen some of these crazy auctions?
No, I haven't.
Okay. They've hyped a few of these on WWE programming. The name of the site has flown out of my head, if anybody's got it handy.
CharityBuzz.com/WWE.
Thank you. And there are all kinds of crazy but expensive things you can bid on.
Okay. Attend a NASCAR race with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
A batting practice at Yankee Stadium with the Big Show and Kofi Kingston. Spend an hour pitching your great business idea to Mark Cuban.
I noticed you're not even. So the prices out here are ridiculous.
Yeah. By the way, that last one, that one's at $13,000.
Here's a business plan: save your $13,000 and invest it in something.
Well, here's the deal. For that $13,000, you might be able to snow Mark Cuban into giving you $13 million.
If I had a face-to-face meeting with Mark Cuban, we'd just get together and buy the Pirates. Okay. Of course, he'd put up all the money. I would make all the decisions. He is from Pittsburgh, by the way. He's from Mount Lebanon. So,
okay.
Mark Cuban, if you're listening, call me.
Okay, here's another one. Make a cameo on Raw. Currently at $5,027. Estimated value $10,000.
No, because they only pay you $250 for an appearance. Oh wait.
Yeah, you two could be the kid that runs in front of Batista and during the chaos years of Raw, do a machine gun move and then run away.
Okay, this is something that I might want to do if I had money. Attend the New York Giants golf outing on May 28th at Westchester County Golf Club. Westchester Country Club, my mistake. Damn, can't read tonight.
Here's a good one. Write a 3-hour episode of Raw. Actually, oh no, that's not a part of the Charity Buzz auction. That's just them looking for help because they're out of ideas.
Yikes.
Why didn't they call me?
Some of these are... You and 10 guests can attend a closed New York Red Bulls practice and have a private training session from head coach Mike Petke.
Now, I understand that, you know, this might be a little self-serving, but I'm going to put this one out here. Hang out backstage at the set of Raw with ECW legend, my dear Uncle Paul, as he tells you the story of ECW. And you will also be given 2 tickets to the show.
We should pull all our money together and send you, and then when he sees you, he'll just put his hand over his face like that one picture you have.
I only need a little bit of help. The current bid is only at $1,050. Cheap bastards. Anyway, let's see. Minimum next bid is $1,300. Maybe I should have waited on the car. Anyway,
Okay. Oh my. Attend Comic-Con with AJ and the Divas.
Okay, I think I need to go.
Sounds like a Geek Heaven thing.
Bank loan. I need to go to the bank. Badly. Very badly. I'm going to go to the bank right now. I'll be back. No, they don't open till 8, but I want to be first in line.
But yeah, a lot of these are, you know, we're talking 4- and 5-figure auctions. This is not for the typical WWE fan. But not all of these are directly wrestling related. So, you know, there's a couple things out here. It looks like they've just opened some other things. Have a superstar send you or a loved one a personalized message on tout.
Okay, here's one that just screams, why? Hang out with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck in the Fox booth before a game.
Carl? Come on, Muckamuck. You know you want one. The one night Jim's not on.
Yeah, we can talk to him about ponies. There you go.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be Troy Buck Troy Buck. That's my name for him, actually. It could be Joe Buck and Tim McCarver, which would be.
Oh God.
Well, at least one of them is retiring after this year. Oh hi. That'll be covered on another podcast. Hint, hint.
Red State, Blue State, brought to you by.
No, stop that. But yeah, there are probably close to 500 different auctions you can look at on here.
193.
What's that?
193.
You want to hear what the least successful one has been thus far?
What's that?
Have WWE legend X-Pac send you or a loved one a personal message on tout. Current bid, 0. Next maximum bid, $150.
Well, actually, Ted DiBiase, Ted Jr.'s is also at $0.
Well, there's another one, I think, where it's him and his dad, the tour, have dinner, and then be backstage at a live event. That's going for like 800 something.
It's not bad.
Too bad it's not the people from College Champ.
I was going to say the top message from Ted Jr. will just be him be asking you to get a hold of somebody from WWE and put him on TV.
Yeah, too bad it's not callachamp.com. Oh, my God.
Let's see.
Remember that here back with Ken Shamrock back in October?
Here's one that might fetch some money. Behind the scenes and have lunch with the Evil Doc and meet the new crop of WWE superstars when you and one guest attend a WWE NXT taping at Full Sail University.
Here's a question for the panel. What auction item, hypothetical, would you be most likely to bid on? Now, hypothetical that would be possible, not, you know, I want to be in the main event of WrestleMania, but is there something out there that could hypothetically happen that's not listed that you would bid on?
Yeah, tickets to Giants. Oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, oh, yeah, tickets to Giants game.
I've got one, I think.
They already have that one. Attend the Giants opening day game with 4 amazing tickets and pregame field passes.
I've got one that I think would be fairly unique, truth be told. Yeah.
All right.
I've respected Jim Johnson for quite some time, just the craziness he can come up with, where he can basically come up with the superstars music and, you know, probably pass on the designs to get the Trons and stuff done. How about you get to sit down with Jim Johnson, he creates you a full-on, full-blown-out entrance theme, as well as you get an opening Tron package, and you get to walk out on Raw with it. Now that would be fun.
That would also take about a month to edit and whatnot.
Granted, but they've actually given that away in contests in the past, and that just sounds really cool. That does sound really cool.
All I know is that I came down to two, and then they might even actually be on the auction. I didn't look at all 500, but one of them would be to spend an entire day in the WWE warehouse. I know they featured it in the magazine where they store all the old goodies from past events.
Mm-hmm.
And another one would be to have Howard Finkel record my voicemail message and my voicemail mailbox message with the new WWE champion and say my name. And I don't know why he doesn't charge for that now. That's like free money.
It's a matter of twisting his arm, because for half the price you can get Tony Chimmel to do it.
or an Arby's sandwich, roast beef sandwich.
The women's gravy.
It's gravy bowl! It's gravy bowl!
I don't know. There's the one that I just now saw. Get a behind-the-scenes tour of the headquarters of WWE in Stamford, Connecticut, including the offices of WWE CEO and Chairman Vince McMahon. $3,001 currently.
Oof.
Let's see. Have lunch with Sheamus at an Irish pub in Boston and spend the day behind the scenes at Raw. Currently at $34.50.
But the bonus in that auction is there's actually a bar fight that's going to break out, and it's going to be like being in a wrestling match. You'll Sweet. Be tag team partners with him at the bar.
Sweet. I doubt it.
Friendly tap, anyone?
Let's see. Private dinner with Bret Hart and attend a Calgary Flames hockey game. There you go, VRM.
Is travel included?
Doesn't say.
I know they had a Cardinals game. That's not going to get a lot of money after last season. Arizona Cardinals game? No.
Is Bret Hart going to spend the whole lunch burying your work rate?
No, he's just going to he's going to rate the meal a 4 out of 10.
Hmm.
Let's see. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff out of here that's just way out of everybody's price range. Let's see. Oh, just some silly stuff out of the chat. Fink to work to do your wedding. No.
I think just for shiggles, when y'all get the chance off the air, look at some of the ones in the food department. The one I just found, the first one I found in the food section, live bid dinner for four at President Clinton, Susan and David Rockefeller at Bluestone Hill Barns, New York City Hotel included. Current bid is at $20,000. Estimated value is $200,000.
I wouldn't give Bill Clinton 20 cents, but that's just me. A lot of people are saying better late than never. I pretty much think that half of the reason it took this long was just coordinating a lot of the stuff, because just about every superstar who is or has worked for WWE has been tapped for something under all of these auctions. So, a lot of the
auction... Spend a day at work with T.L. Hopper.
What page was that on?
It was right next to the Duke the Dumpster Drossy auction.
That's just not right.
File your taxes with IRS.
You know what? There are people that would bid on that. And I dare them to open the bids at $1,040.
Easy, Nikki. Easy.
What?
1040 easy.
Exactly. The easiest auction they could set up. Anyway, thank you very much.
Ooh.
And in case you are, you know, we've talked on the show, you know, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and if you've been listening to our shows, we've mentioned at least twice the fact that if you're not going to WrestleMania, there is so much wrestling going on that weekend, you have no excuse. However, I have a complaint that apparently Extreme Rising had to cancel their shows. Why aren't you spending money on these guys? Wait. VRM, help me out here.
Why I'm not spending money is I already dropped 3 bills for Mania.
This is true. DJ, if you were in the neighborhood, would that have been one on your list? Because there's so much else going on.
It depends. I found out that the show was canceled, so I went to the website. I heard it wasn't highly promoted. I went to one of these sketchy indie wrestling message boards, and it was promoted there, I guess. It's a tri-state, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. And it was promoted heavily there, but they promoted the Philadelphia show on April, I think, 4th, more so than any of the events that were going on that weekend in New York, New Jersey. They promoted Sabu versus Jushin Liger, which would, I think, is the first time that that match had taken place in the United States, but that was the Philly show that, again, was not Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I think it was maybe the Thursday, April 4th show. So they did a lot of heavy promoting the Philly show. I know the only promotion I think they had for the New York, New Jersey shows was $1 beers. So, I don't know. Maybe if I felt so inclined, I would go based on that. But I know there's like $5 wrestling, is having something, Ring of Honor, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
You'd probably be at WrestleCon if you were going to do anything.
Yeah, WrestleCon, Hall of Fame, Access. I'd probably do that stuff because I could hit any of those other shows at any time when they're in my area.
And there you go. I was just surprised that there would be a show that did not sell. You know, did we find the saturation point?
Well, there are enough fans that go there. I mean, people that just go there to go and soak in the experience. It's like when you go to the Super Bowl. There's a bajillion Super Bowl parties. There's enough people there that, you know, if there's so much going on, eventually you're gonna get some people that are walking in going, okay, it's a Super Bowl party. I'll hang out here. It's the same thing with wrestling shows. Wrestling fans matriculate there, and they go, oh, there's a wrestling show here. Okay, I'll go there. You know, it's just there's so many that you're bound to get some of them, and a small percentage of the large fan base that's there. I mean, it's good for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, this is the only show that I'm aware of that's closed down, but this would, you know, but the fact that WrestleCon is going to be there, which gives you DGUSA, Evolve, Ring of Honor is going to be there, I believe, $5 Wrestling, as you said, it's just going to, you know, there is no excuse to not go to any kind of wrestling short of money issues, VRM, since you've already, you know, you've pretty much, you know, blown the load for your seat. What, and
hey, if I was going to blow the load for my seat, I would have spent the full grand on a floor seat.
That's why I spent $20 to go to Mania 23 in Detroit and do standing room only on a whim the day of. And I mean, it wasn't the best view, but I don't know. I didn't. Of course, then back then WrestleMania weekend wasn't the big event weekend that it was, but I probably would have had more money left over for other things, I guess.
It was also WrestleMania 23, which is like the worst one out in this decade.
That's true. It was one of the worst ones, but for me, since I was there, automatically becomes the best one for me. So I'm glad that it was crappy while I was there, because to me it wasn't crappy since I was there. You know what I mean?
No. I was going to say that as somebody who spent who blew 2 months' rent on a chair seat for this Mania. My only issue was just getting the card rearranged a little bit. Michael Cena should not have main evented.
Or if it did, they should have had the match from later that month as the main.
There was no way they were going to be able to do it. I don't think we're ever going to see an Iron Man match at Mania. But and I know the one you want, VRM. So, but if they had rearranged the card, and to be honest, you know, people are going to complain a little bit about the crowd. The Originals versus New Breed match would have been better received if we even thought that the Originals had a ghost of a chance. That's why the crowd was so dead. The Money in the Bank match was decent. We didn't get a very good monster match. Our Divas match, I really didn't care.
MVP versus Bob Holly.
Stop that. And
I couldn't help myself.
I just Boo! Anyway. And like I said, you know, Batista Undertaker should have mained this, because that was a very, very good match. And the GM happened to, and the GM happens by. What have we got? GM says, they better hope that WrestleMania pulls in their requisite 1 million buys, though they'll have something to balance it with the fact that they broke 200,000 for this past Elimination Chamber. That's a good thing. You'll have plenty to talk about when it comes to WrestleMania, since they've decided to put 10 matches on the card. And they're still putting things together for the Hall of Fame. Okay, that'll give us plenty to talk about for the second half of the show. So, guys, restrooms are open. The vending machines are plugged in. Go ahead and grab a snack. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
Hi, I'm Tom Delgado. You are listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. Do I smell butthurt on you?
Oh my.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with DJ Peckins, Tyler Brown, and VRM. The Hall of Fame next Saturday is going to have probably one of the most elite classes. And, you know, we joke, you joke that we say that every year, but I think I can say that for this year's class, VRM, come on.
Bruno, Mick, need we say Bob Backlund,
mm-hmm.
End of thread.
Exactly. They could have stopped at San Martino, and, you know, they weren't going to be able to top this. So we've got the inductees, but now we need some inductors. We've got a few confirmed. Foley, actually, I didn't see the video. Did he pull a LeBron to make his announcement?
He used his son's YouTube channel, Mickey Foley something or other, and he announced it through his son's YouTube channel.
He's too cheap to get his own free YouTube account.
He just wants more free cheap pops for his son.
Just for that, he should have said Al Snow, but Mick is getting. Go ahead.
I think he did fake him out and say that it was going to be Al Snow.
Yeah, sort of as a joke. He's like, yeah, him and his son just sitting there. He's like, guess who's going to induct him? He's like, oh, Al Snow. And then both of them just sit there and had a laugh. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Al.
That sucks, because I would have appreciated it. But
probably,
I understand why they
would have tried, but contracts.
That's true. Al's still tight down south, so I don't think they would be too keen on that. And after the Christian fiasco, you were gonna say something, DJ?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Okay, so that one's done. They announced this week that Arnold Schwarzenegger will be inducting Bruno, which my wrestling history is weak, so could somebody give me the connection here?
I know there's a picture of the two of them when Arnold was in his younger days with Bruno. I don't know if it just has to do with the bodybuilding connection, but I think it's ironic the fact that Bruno has been so outspoken about the use of steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs in pro wrestling, and yet you have Arnold, who admittedly came out and said, I don't regret doing steroids. It's kind of an odd match, but okay.
No, if you want an odd match, DJ, Maria Menounos is inducting Bob Backlund.
Why?
Supposedly they're tight, but I know how the IWC reacted. Something like this. We couldn't find another wrestler.
Kevin Nash. Oh, wait.
I said wrestler.
Apparently, they're good friends, like decade-old friends. And one time when she was in the crowd at a pay-per-view or at a Raw or something, she was wearing a tied-up t-shirt that was a Bob Backlund t-shirt. And apparently, she's a really big fan. But, I mean, the only other logical choice that I could think of would be Arnold Skaalin, and he's dead. So I guess she's the next best choice.
I guess I'm just baffled. That one I'm really baffled about. We still got some question marks out there for Trish. I am hoping that they're trying to get Lita. Well, all they have to do is kind of elbow CM Punk and say, "Hey, you know, are you two still together?" So I'll put it out there, Tyler. If they don't get Lita, who should induct Trish?
Well, I'd say either Edge. Well, Edge probably, since they have that Canadian connection.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them grew up around the same time, that sort of thing. Or, let's see here. Who else would be good? You know, I would almost say Mae Young is still alive, correct? That would be kind of fun. That's a sort of a way of passing the torch kind of thing.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't think it'd be very coherent, but it'd be kind of cool.
Well, you know, she'd probably have a lot of gin and tonic before she went on stage, but, you know.
That'd be a train wreck.
Oh, Lord.
Saying she'd beat some bitches, but, you know, hey, you know, that's Mae Young for you. Love her. I mean, there's nobody else I really think that would be...
You could have Mrs. Alex Rodriguez.
What?
Since A-Rod is a New York Yankee and that's his companion.
You just heard someone muted face pop.
Thank you, DJ, for not saying Viscera.
The world's largest love machine.
Because the picture's still out there. Of him holding up a string of condoms. So, no. Not Viscera.
Wait, who said Viscera?
I thought you were going to say Viscera.
Oh, no, I said Mrs. Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, but I'm just sorry. Given some of the other things you've said tonight, I was waiting for you to say Viscera. The other question mark is for Booker, and there's a few people out there with their fingers crossed for his brother Stevie Ray, which I think would be pretty cool. Trick is, you know, who else would you put out there? Because The Rock ain't gonna do it, even though Booker was kind of like The Rock, you know. Trying to be The Rock when he first came to the Fed,
and they had their feud at when the invasion was going on,
right?
What about having him being inducted by his wife Queen Sharmell?
That wouldn't be bad.
I mean, if you couldn't get Stevie Ray, Stevie Ray would be the ultimate choice. You could do Gold Dust, I guess. He was one.
Only
half
if he does it in character.
One half.
He has to do it.
Booker Dust.
One of my favorite tag teams of all time.
Because, my God, that tag team was so much fun, and Goldust would have to do it completely in character.
With the ticks and everything from that.
I'd rather he do it without the ticks, but with the ticks, it'd still be pretty funny.
Without the ticks. From a 7-Eleven. You want a bite of my wiener?
I'm surprised that wasn't in the video package. Then again, I'm still surprised at half the stuff that got into the video package. Half of that video package is a bucket of ribs. DJ, what did you do when they showed the Sherry Martel clip? Even though they cut it off?
I was like, somebody's getting fired for this. Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon just broke Gorilla. Actually, they're probably not even aware that what follows that clip that got cut off, so maybe nothing. I don't know.
No, somebody's going to get in trouble because Hulk Hogan's name ended up on the audio. But between that clip, G.I. Bro footage, some of the Book Dust stuff, a couple clips of Charmel.
Yeah, they pretty much ran the gauntlet.
Yeah, they found everything. The one that we were still waiting for was the some of the supermarket stuff with Austin. They somehow got the confessional from that same night. I think that was the same night where Austin was chasing Booker T all over creation and he hid in a church.
It wasn't the same night.
It wasn't?
No, the church was a Raw and the supermarket was a SmackDown.
Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, Stevie Ray would probably be their best bet. He hasn't been terribly active. Got a thing from the chat room. He hasn't been wrestling since WWA folded. That's more than I knew. I thought he had just hung it up when WCW folded. So, we'd love to have him. Now, do I have everybody that's listed for the Hall of Fame? Trish, Backlund, Booker, Bruno, Foley. Vince himself has got to induct Trump. Personally. Boo. And it's going to be, instead it's going to be Trump's daughter. No, it has to be Vince, because I want the two of them, I want Trump and Vince firing each other at the podium. I want them to get in a firing argument.
Or for Vince to get his revenge and just shave Donald.
All he has to do is, if he gets a good handful, he can just peel it off.
It's true.
And if they get Lita for Trish, they have to have a fight on the stage. They have to have a fight on the stage. Just the... for the longest time, out on YouTube, somebody did a High School Never Ends video with WWE superstars, and they had two of Lita and Trish's backstage fights, and these two fights were like 5 or 6 years apart. And I'm like, okay, this has got to happen again. I could see this where Lita comes out and she talks about Trish. Trish comes out to accept her induction. The two of them fight. We get a bunch of the road agents in tuxedos trying to break the fight up. Trish gets to the podium, brushes hair out of her face, and goes, "And that happened."
Cue impromptu match of Mania.
I don't know. The card is too. There's so much on the card already. We've got 10 matches for a 4-hour show. And I'm still trying to figure out which one of these is going to be the 18. Which one's getting 18 seconds? Because we've got Taker Punk, which won't. And since we've had some more earned sanity this week, Taker decided to show up and beat up Punk. Oh my God, he's in the ring. How'd you think he looked, VRM, or did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay. Tyler, did you see it?
Yeah, it's still a little weird. It's still taking me some time getting used to the, I guess, it's not even really fully bald because he's got that strip down the middle of his head, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a failed,
faux hawk?
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know what the heck he's trying to do. So, yeah, it's weird.
He's trying to keep his hair, what's left of it.
Yeah,
He's trying to keep people from recognizing him at Indiana Waffle Houses.
Yeah, that too.
Just because I thought it was a Dayton Waffle House.
I think we were still in Indiana. I'm not sure.
I was in Indiana. I thought you were on your way home.
Might have been by the state line.
But you lived. That's all that matters.
Yes.
Let's see. And Triple H and Lesnar. I'm going to touch on this real quick, mainly because on SmackDown there was a brief interview that Matthews did with my dear Uncle Paul, and judging from what Uncle Paul said, that it is pretty much just for Hunter's in-ring career, which I'm a little disappointed because I had something a little more elaborate in my mind that my Uncle Paul would have snuck enough information into that contract that not only would the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, need to hang up his tights, but hang up his tie and turn over his COO duties to me. Oh, to my dear Uncle Paul. Would that have been too much, Tyler?
No, the funny thing is, as you're saying this, as you're saying stipulations, one of the, a parody news sites had something to where, you know, completely just out of left field. And I sort of laughed, thinking this could actually happen because, you know, there's a lot of jokes about Lesnar being dumb, is the fact that Lesnar goes to sign the contract and misses the box that says, you know, no holds barred, and accidentally checks the box, because I guess there's like a standard box for stipulations, standard contract for stipulations, and they have it for both genders. And instead of checking the no holds barred, the bra and panties is right next to it, and he misses and ends up making a bra and panties stipulation, not realizing what he's done, and signs off on it. Yikes.
And then you probably would have seen everyone use that match as a piss break.
Wouldn't be the first time that Lesnar ended. No, actually, no. I don't think anybody left during Lesnar's match with Goldberg. They were too busy shitting on it.
Yeah, they were too busy chanting boring.
Let's see, boring bullshit. You can't wrestle. You know, unfortunately, no one was chanting "Please don't go" because they were. Both of them had a foot out the door. Winner of this match, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know Jason wasn't for sure.
You listen carefully, you can probably hear him on the show audio. Let's see. Cena Rock, here we go again. Which, you know, it's nice that Rock decided to finally show up. And he actually had his man ring with him. DJ, do you believe the candy ass story he told on SmackDown?
I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
Okay. Gah. That does it. Anybody who's on my show is required to at least watch the product. Anyway.
I watched Raw.
Jerry Lawler does it.
He just listens to it. SmackDown emanated from Hershey, Pennsylvania. And Rock told a story that he and a bunch of his buddies, when he was still in high school, had gone into Hershey to do whatever. And Rock was trying to find a Hershey's whatchamacallit bar. I've had these, and they're very good, and I understand why he's looking for them. Took him a couple tries to find a place. Finds one. Place only had one left, apparently, and somebody grabbed it just as he was reaching for it. And he said to that person, if you do not drop that candy, I will whip your candy ass. And was rewarded with this whatchamacallit. Convenient. Cute story. And while Rock was trying to tell the story, he had a minor interruption from somebody who needed to step out into the spotlight because he was worried that people had forgotten about people power.
And then Jim's not here to do the voice.
That's why I'm trying and failing miserably. So since Cena didn't show up, then Rock had to settle for beating up a different Johnny. I'm sorry, VRM. This is the quote unquote money match, but this isn't why I'm would be spending my money on Mania.
I'm watching this card build up, and I'm seeing some of these matches. And right now, the selling point for me out of the three, I guess you could call it, the four, you could call them main event matches, mm-hmm. is it's got to be Undertaker Punk. The fact that Jack Swagger still has a title shot until Ziggler makes the cash. Yeah,
right.
That whole hype around that match died that Tuesday. We knew that was coming from the beginning.
Right.
And Lesnar Triple H. Yeah. That's got potential still, but really, I want to see how they top some of the one from SummerSlam.
Well, it depends, It depends, because Hunter's probably looking for somebody to be in his corner.
What are you looking at?
I've heard Stephanie on that list, but I'm not seeing that happen because she doesn't want to be on camera much. Let's see, Swagger Del Rio. I really don't care because I don't think Swagger even deserves it. So this might be our 18 seconds match. I kind of hope it's the 18 seconds match.
Yeah, as much as I don't want to devalue the title, the World Heavyweight Title even more.
The fact that Swagger's going after it doesn't help. Something that I will spend my money on when it comes to this show is the Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show versus the Shield. And not just for Dean Ambrose, which I'm sure I'm going to get, I'm going to catch some heck for, but that's okay. The dynamic that they're building with the good guys is very amusing. In the fact that I'm getting to the point with these three DJ that I'm getting to somebody turn heel already.
Yeah, and it's a possibility. I'm just not as excited about the match as you are, mm-hmm. because I was holding out hope for the Shield versus Evolution, try to get Big Batista back and have him, Orton, and Triple H as the ones, but. Once I knew that they was locked in as Brock, Triple H, anything after that kind of, I don't know. I just kind of felt like, okay, it's not going to be as good as my idea, so.
Well, to play devil's advocate on that, the reason they didn't book it that way is because it'd be lol, Evolution wins, and then everybody get mad that the Shield is getting buried. So.
It would be them paying it forward because basically they got to go over on Rock and Foley 10 years earlier, 9 years earlier.
Admitted.
But I still think the Shield's gonna get buried in this one too, because I mean they're undefeated and
they didn't get buried with Cena in the lineup.
Yeah, but
this is true.
I think they were saving it for Mania to get them to get their comeuppance at Mania.
Well, the which actually begs the question, since you're the Orton fan here. Orton's been begging for a heel turn. And Show gets stuck in the heel face revolving door all the time. Is this where they pulled the trigger?
It would be nice. Because it would give it some kind of added flavor that I wasn't thinking about. He could be the leader of the group, so to speak. I just don't know if you always hear stuff like this, that they're going to do it at Mania, and then they wait to do it like at the Raw afterwards, or Extreme Rules, or what have you, so mm-hmm. It would be nice. I would be in favor of it. I think that would that would at least make it intriguing for me. I just don't know if they're going to do it.
And speaking of turns, the Legends panel from Monday night, listening to Cena, I'm not getting my hopes up, but that sounded a little heelish.
Donovan McNabb. I heard him in Philly, and he said those two words. It's like, oh no, he did not just open up that can of worms.
Sure, why not?
I think a lot of people want the Rock Stone Cold finish, so to speak, where he just keeps attacking him after the match with the chair, and that kind of, like, you know, that's his way of turning heel. But I just think they're trying to. They know it's going to be it's a WrestleMania crowd. It's going to be a Smart Mark crowd. They're going to be partisan towards The Rock, and they're just instead of last time where they try to play it off as two faces, I think they're just trying to make Cena more of a heel just for this match, not without coming out and saying he's not going to turn or anything, just like making him the unlikable guy, I guess, kind of like embracing it for this match only, and that's as far as it'll go. I hope I'm wrong.
Kind of like Shawn Michaels in 05 against
right.
Hogan.
And then he'll come out the next night and, you know, everything's forgiven. Or in Cena's case, you know, he won't acknowledge everything. But yeah, good analogy.
So let's see. Then we have the mixed tag. Road Scholars with the Bellows versus the Hip Hop Hippos and the Funkadactyls. I know that's not their name. I think the new name is Tons of Funk. But
here's one thing that I question that I had. People talk about people coming back to the organization and how they get put into the WrestleMania card. I know it's just the Divas, but where's the outcry that the Bellas, who came back, what, 1-2 weeks ago, are already on the Mania card?
That was the funny thing, is that when I saw them, I normally I try not to message Nikki during Raw because I know she's on DVR, but I saw them and I think I said, like, holy shit, I did not just see that. And I said, what did I say about Twin Vision is back?
Twin Magic is back. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, I think it was like Twin Vision. I think I said Twin Vision. But it was like, and then you just jaw dropped also.
I did, because I was also impressed at the fact that they had matching boob surgery. Anyway,
Well, if the dirt sheets are to believe, one is dating Brian and one is dating Cena, so I guess they figured they have more pull now, might as well go back out on the road.
Well, and whatever other ventures they've been on probably wasn't making the kind of money they were making if they were actually in the Fed, and they don't have to worry too much about wrestling because there really isn't much to the Divas division. Although I am looking forward to this not only because I am a huge fan of Damian Sandow, I am also a huge fan of Naomi's work. What little we've seen of it is amazing, and I wish we had somebody better to match her up with than the Bellas. But this is going to be an excellent showcase for Naomi. And I hope this gets, you know, this gets these four into the mix. Just in time for Karma to come back and kill them all. Blah, ha, ha, ha. Anyway. Speaking of outcry, the reason that people aren't complaining about the Bellas is because there's two other matches that they're bitching about right now. The tag title match with Team Hell No versus Ziggy and Biggie and Jericho Fandango.
Namely bitching about the tag team title match because Ziggler's not cashing in. So we think.
Oh, but that's the point. You put him in a tag team match so that he doesn't have to do as much, because this is probably going to be more of a showcase for Big E, because we really haven't seen him in a match.
Plus, we think back to New Year's Revolution, however many years ago, and what was Edge doing? And what did Edge do?
He opened against Flair, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, in a match that lasted all of about 5 seconds after he pulled out the steel chair and just beat Flair to a pulp with it.
Right.
I don't understand all the complaining, because number one, with tag match, people always complain like, oh, the tag division is in shambles, there's no emphasis on tag team wrestling, and if we wouldn't have had a tag team championship match, they'd say, oh, look, it's the biggest match of the year, and the tag team titles aren't even defended, you know, those belts are worthless, nobody in WWE cares. Now that you have one, people complain. And then with the Jericho Fandango thing, everybody talks about, oh, the older guys need to put over new talent, need to put over new talent. And then, you know, Jericho is working with Fandango, giving him this rub. Here's a guy who's worked with Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels, and he worked with the Legends, and he worked with CM Punk, and he's willing to do this for Fandango. If it's good enough for Jericho, it's good enough for me. You don't get to pick and choose, you know, which talent he puts over. If he's willing to do it, you know, don't say like, oh, you know, put over new talent, but put over the new talent that I like. I mean, come on.
Just having the match at WrestleMania against a legend like Chris Jericho is putting him over.
Exactly.
Bingo. And I'm, you know, I would put even money that Jericho asked for this. That Jericho himself said, you know what, this character is hysterical. I can do something with this. Let me face him. Just the fact that he's been doing the San Bernardino with the Fandango puns, including a Queen reference. Thank you, Mr. Jericho. Just, you know, for that, anybody who has missed SmackDown, go look up Jericho trying to pronounce Fandango on SmackDown. That's worth the price of admission right there. But yeah, it's a number threes argument. You know, oh, you know, they never do anything with new talent at WrestleMania. Well, okay, Big E's got a match. Oh, not him. Or, you know, Fandango's getting his first match at WrestleMania. Why is he getting his first match at WrestleMania? He doesn't deserve it. Shut up.
you can't win. You can never win. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Now, so here's a personal message to all the threes.
Go for it.
Go suck the chrome off of a 57 Chevy bumper. Thank you.
Don't they have a special place to be right now?
Ooh, the number threes?
Yeah, which we control with a lever.
Did we put them in there already?
I think we did.
But just to make sure. Okay. I could throw them in there every other show and probably still not catch them all. Anyway, shut up. I hate to
gotta
say it,
catch
but
them all, number threes.
Damn you, Tyler. First DJ, now you. VRM, what you got something, you better get it in soon, because I gotta get first, let me peel my head out of my hands. Oh,
and dead count.
Sadly, there are more than 450 number threes out there, and I wouldn't waste a master ball on a one of them. And if there's such a thing as a shiny number three, no, I'm not even going to start. as I lose geek cred by the minute. Moving on, as Jim would say. Wade Barrett, who had an unfortunate encounter with the Evil Doc, will be putting his Intercontinental title up against Miz. Since they kind of already exhausted the stuff with Antonio Cesaro and The Miz. But I should be excited for this. Why am I not excited for this?
It hasn't been built.
Yeah. And I'm just worried that they're going to put the Intercontinental title on Miz. Maybe that's just me. And with the movie coming out, it's almost a certainty.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm happy for Wade Barrett, since he missed last year's WrestleMania because he was haphazardly thrown to the floor and screwed up his elbow. And I think Miz, if I'm not mistaken, he went from being in the World WWE Championship match at 27 to 28, being in the Team Teddy, Team Johnny cluster. So for him to kind of at least have go from that back up to a title match, even though it is the base of the lower card, mid card belt, that's, you know, for how hard Miz has worked, to see him and Wade Barrett kind of have an actual semblance of a match is, I mean, it's okay.
No, I'm good with it, but maybe the point is that there really isn't, you know, there really isn't much build up with it. But yeah, the fact that Barrett wasn't at last year's WrestleMania because of, in his own words, or at least he thought at the moment it happened, I broke my freaking arm. Anyway, but good on him. I really want to see him with an A belt this year. We'll see. Rounding out the card is our monster match, which is Ryback versus Mark Henry. The bench press challenge, you know, some people grumble about the fact that they should be wrestling. No, this is actually kind of interesting just because we already know, you know, we've already seen so much of Mark Henry's World Strongest Man stuff. To see what Ryback can do with the weight bench besides eat it. My only complaint, and this is just the, you know, this is just the workout person in me, when the spot was essentially they were doing bench presses. They had 250 pounds on a long bell and they were doing benches. Mark Henry does about...
Was it 250 or 225? Because I know they had 445s. So that's
225.
That's 180, yeah, so plus the 45-pound bars. Yeah, 225.
Okay, my bad. So, but they were doing... Mark Henry did a round of benches. And he did... I think he did over 50.
53.
Yeah. And... technically, Ryback did 54, and then Mark Henry tried to press the bar down on Ryback's throat. Next thing you know, the bar's going every which way. The plates slide off because nobody secured them. Amateurs. Although that might have been a safety measure, I don't know. I just when the weights slid off the barbell, that kind of pissed me off. But those two, you know. Those two are just going to tear the stadium apart. It's going to be fun to watch those two kill each other.
And as we've been saying in AIM the last 4 weeks, Vicky.
Oh, yes. Anything you can kill, I can kill harder.
I can kill anything harder than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
World's Strongest Slam, yes, I can!
Ouch.
See, it doesn't
Feed
work.
Me
it
does, more!
It doesn't work without the text to see it.
But they even referenced it in the commentary that this isn't anything you can do kind of match. So, I, you know...
When they first killed him, we were saying, "Yay, the one-upsmanship begins."
Yeah, when the first implications of it, when they took turns killing Drew McIntyre. Poor Drew. And that D'Artagnan beard looks so good on him. sorry. Ah. And with 1 week to go to WrestleMania, VRM, do you feel you have money well spent on this show?
It has. I think it's almost gotten up. Gotten up to being worth it. I think after the first match, the first two or three matches, we'll see if it was worth dropping $3 on.
Tyler, will you be purchasing, viewing from elsewhere or by any means necessary?
I'll view it however I can, really. It just depends on what the financial situation when it comes about.
Okay. DJ, same question.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Usually a group of friends or family will order the pay-per-view and we'll have a party. Or in years past, I know I've gone to a Blast area to see WrestleMania. So I'm sure the only time I think I've ever missed Mania are when I was traveling. So.
And I'll admit, I have not missed a Mania since, the first Mania I watched was 19. I haven't missed one yet. So I will find a way, and I actually have taken time off. I will not be out in New York for any of the Wrestling Insanity, but I have made sure that I've got a few days off so that, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm still going to try to enjoy WrestleMania. So, I think I've covered everything I needed to cover. So, let's see. So, before we call it a show, VRM, do you have anything to promote?
Since I've been on hiatus since January, I'm thinking that next week for the Final Four, I'll be actually out of said hiatus, finally, after work has some clients... That's all I'm going to say. Some clients.
Been there, done that. DJ, do you have anything to promote? Or did I interrupt you, Vera? I'm sorry.
Just real quick. So, next week, hopefully, WrestleCraft Sports Digest returns. We'll have the Final Four. We'll have a preview of the Frozen Four. And opening week of baseball, and the stupidest goddamn move of the offseason so far, Jerry Jones face palm.
Mr. Jones, if you like throwing money around like that, could you throw us a few million? Seriously. Yes, I know what happened. Okay, DJ, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do have a few things to promote. I have a new song on iTunes. It's called Hoski. You can download that. And also my Twitter page is twitter.com/ZackRyder. So
you're about a year and a half too late. You're about a year too late on that joke and all those jokes.
I do it every time, so I never have anything to promote, so might as well promote something, even if in jest.
Tyler, how about you? Do you have anything to promote?
Yes, actually. I'll be doing a meet and greet with Jim Cornette at the local Dairy Queen. Be discounted prices. If you come through the drive-thru and shout obscenities, there's rumors that you can get 50% off. I'm just saying, just kind of beware, though. There may be discounts involved. But in all seriousness, I'm actually hoping to get a weekend job to kind of supplement my income, and that way I'll be making a check basically every week, whether it be from the job I anticipate getting just for the weekends and then working my regular job. And it is now official. I will be going back to school in the fall, so I'll be getting back on track. I am 4 classes away from getting my degree.
Good for you.
Yay.
Muckabuck, did you want to promote a whole bunch of stuff?
Yes, I will be taking the role of Jason this time. Oh, hi.
I better give you some room.
No, real quick, we were recording, I believe, WLTI Live this Sunday, right, Jason? Something like that. Stay tuned for that, and also the season preview of the MLB season for Touch 'Em All, also this weekend.
Okay.
And then, of course, Stitcher.com, who finally fixed their app.
Yes, finally. I was having similar troubles and having flashbacks to the other place.
Yeah, hi, Typho.
Yeah, Typho, get your ass over here. Seriously.
How many times do we have to bug you to get over here, Typho, really?
Does he even listen to my show? Because I know he doesn't listen to me when I try to get on his show. Bastard, I wanted to talk to the We Hate Cena fan. Anyway, And don't forget to tune in next week as we are going to do our WrestleMania Pick'em show, which means just about everybody's going to be here. You have been warned. But then again, those are usually the best shows. So get your WrestleMania pre-show fix from us, because we're not going to sit for an hour and just run video packages. Oh, wait, we're a radio show. I am going to at least send a shout-out to Tommy Dreamer from the Jerry Lynn show. I did go back there. Perry Saturn was out of shirts. You know, maybe next time. But I do want to thank him for autographing a copy of House of Hardcore for me. I want to thank Jerry Lynn for his entire career. He's a great guy. I wish him the best of luck with whatever's next. And speedy recovery to a man who continues to bust ass for the business, X-Pac.
And of course, so thoughts and prayers to the Flair family, of course.
Of course. Because, you know, bad enough that, you know, Rick was in the hospital, then this with Reed. That's, you know, shit happens in threes. And I didn't want to say that too loud. But that's all I had to promote, because I'm right here. So for VRM, for Tyler Brown, for DJ Peckins, for our Chief High Muckamuck, Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, part of CLW83 Network, and on Stitcher Radio. If I could shill any harder, I would probably hurt my back even worse. Thank you for listening.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in!